Worship leader Keith Getty has a passion for the gospel to spread across the world.
I find my greatest disappointments not our chances not to share my faith. I find myself every morning more diligent about praying for the world. I find myself in the professional work more committed to helping to partner with churches around the world and giving music away.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth, author of The Quiet Place, for Monday, January 16th, 2017.
Well, as you probably know, Revive Our Hearts has hosted a True Woman Conference every other year since 2008. And at each of these events, our friends Keith and Kristen Getty have helped lead us into worship. Their latest album is called Facing a Task Unfinished. It's a call for the church to mobilize and fulfill the Great Commission. Today we'll hear about the Getty's heart for missions and hear about some of the musical surprises on this album. And later in the program, I'll let you know how to get a special Revive Our Hearts version of this album with a lot of bonus material. Our team talked with Keith and Kristen about Facing a Task Unfinished and why this theme of missions was on their hearts.
Hi, we're Keith and Kristen Getty.
I'm Kristen. He's Keith.
Just in case you're wondering.
We are married and we have three little girls.
Three little true women.
So Keith is surrounded by women.
Being made more perfect every day thanks to their helpful critique, whether it's requested or not.
Drives us to our knees. I need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee.
We've done four main albums and then four kind of side projects.
Well, we'd been involved in recordings back home in Northern Ireland, and then we moved to America. We felt the need to have that first album, which sort of showcased what it was we were trying to do. And that was sort of a collection of the best of the hymns that had been written to that point. And that was it felt very much like a new beginning for us being over here. And then we initially came to America for 2 years, and we've been here 10. So every couple of years we've gone back to the beginning and we've gone to the next stage of creativity, of the things that we're passionate about and feel the church need to be singing and what we want to sing about. And that has just led to more and more songs. It gets harder, definitely.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely, this is our life's work, I mean, professionally. But the albums aren't really as much a big deal in themselves as much as they're an expression of what we're trying to do in terms of writing hymns for churches and families to sing.
A very strong theme to this one. We were involved in the rewrite of a hymn written in the 1930s called Facing a Task Unfinished by Frank Houghton, who was the head of an organization called China Inland Mission. And he used this hymn to sort of galvanize a new generation of missionaries to China, where persecution was very raw and hard. And that hymn inspired over 200 missionaries to head across. And obviously the situation in China is an incredibly encouraging one and challenging one as we consider just how few believers there were 100 years ago and just how many million there are now. And it excited us creatively as hymn writers, as worship leaders, to look at what a song can do to really get into people's minds and hearts and affect a lasting change and growth in somebody's faith. And, you know, if we're not singing about the things that matter, the chances are that we're not going to do it, you know. And there had been our friend Oz Guinness, actually, whose family had been one of those missionary families that responded to Frank Houghton's cause to that hymn. He wrote to us a couple of years ago and said, I think that in the West we have somewhat cooled towards mission. And that really struck deeply with us. And it sparked a whole new creative movement in our writing partnership and with those that we like to write with, trying to write songs on mission and about worship and what it means when we sing these things.
The first time I started to sing this song, I find myself going more missional. I find my greatest disappointments now are chances not to share my faith. I find myself every morning more diligent about praying for the world. I find myself in the professional work more committed to helping partner with churches around the world and giving music away as opposed to trying to necessarily be involved in the business side of it. And so I think for me it's changed at every level.
That's Keith and Kristen Getty telling us why they took up the theme of missions and evangelism on their latest album, Facing a Task Unfinished. Now, if you know anything about the Gettys, and as you may be able to tell from their accent, you know that their Irish background has a huge influence on their worship music and gives them a unique sound. That Celtic influence is still a part of Facing a Task Unfinished. But to mirror the theme of missions around the world, this album also includes sounds from around the world. Keith and Kristen talk about some of the musical guests they were able to work with.
The idea that our first album would also feature Ladysmith Black Mambazo in this was kind of wonderful.
It's actually one of the first albums that we ever listened to together when we met, the Graceland, because we were both aware of it.
We were working on an African project at the time.
We listened to that, so we could never have imagined just the privilege it would be to work with them one day. We never got to go over and meet them. They recorded it remotely in South Africa, but we sing it now with the backing track, and that's one of my favourite.
Hope you are. I don't quite have the fluent language that they have.
But we play them in the backing tracks along with the band, and that's a lot.
We pretend
fun.
We can do it. We pretend we're cool. But of course, our kids love the Lion King, so it's like they're listening to Ladysmith Black Mambazo and Lion King. So people, you know, it's funny. They've great art appeals to every generation. You know, it's an amazing thing.
One of the things I was very excited about, I'd always said to Keith for years, if there's ever anybody I really wanted to sing with, it would be Fernando Ortega. And he is my go-to voice to listen to late at night when I can't sleep.
Apart from me.
Apart from my husband. But actually, at all three of the births of my children before Fernando Ortega's voice in there, I love his singing.
I can't tell you how sick I am with his voice. I love
it's so easy to listen to it.
I bet he's a really whiny person to live with.
So whenever we'd met him a few times and we called him and said, we have this song, I think that your voice, we were waiting for the right song, you know, and we called him and he very kindly flew into Nashville and sang it with me. So that was a big moment for me, you know, as a singer to get to share that. And I think his, you know, being a male voice and a different type of singer, I think it all adds to the enjoyment of the listening experience.
I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone.
I think if you're writing hymns with the church, then being singable is one of the primary factors in whether they're going to work, whether they're good at all. And so that is always our goal, whether we hit it okay sometimes, a little bit better other times, not as well. We're constantly learning what is it that people can sing the best. And that is one of our big passions, singability, singing biblical truth. And then also to explore artistry in as vast a way we can, to celebrate the diverse musical culture and heritage that we each have, and that is an expression of the diversity of the world that we were a part of. And so we tried in this album to use various different folk sounds, other cultural sounds in the album to give that sort of a global feel. And that was very exciting for us, just creatively. We just enjoyed it so much, and we hope other people do as well.
I rejoice in my redeemer.
I think anyone, whether it's our spiritual walk or as parents or in our marriage or in your professional work, everyone has to be growing. Everyone's either growing or they're actually losing impetus. I don't believe anybody's actually standing still. I believe if you're standing still, you're gradually losing the freshness and energy you had. So you've got to be searching for new things. And I think because we start from a sort of a folk music beginning, and Christ Alone is basically a pentatonic five-note melodies, like Amazing Grace or Jesus Loves Me. And so when you start from that position, but you also have a passion for both world music and world mission, it's a natural place to want to go. And also, there's so much happening around the world. I don't know what the next 30 years is going to bring with that whole sort of missional impetus, but I can't wait. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been somewhat of a narrowing in sort of contemporary musical expression in the church that just sort of hones in sometimes in lyrically a few themes and musically a few sounds, and that's obviously not, that's a wild generalisation, but I just think it's an opportunity for people who are trying to write and serve the church in this musical way to experiment and develop and partner with other people who do different things, to sort of give fuller expression to what it means to be the body of Christ. You know, we don't all look the same, come from the same backgrounds and have the same education, same circumstances, so why should we all try to sound the same? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And so it's a good opportunity to explore that. The instrumental music, I think it serves to gather people in and then also create space for people to reflect. You know, the songs are very full in their lyrics, and I think that being punctuated with some instrumental music gives people a chance to take a breath. And I think we find that very useful. And there's a big instrumental piece on the new album, which is called Beyond These Shores, which is basically a dance all over the world and exploring different folk songs and folk music, and just showing just how amazing this band is, you know, and letting them just shine, because they are incredible. So that's why we threw that in there.
Each time I play In Christ Alone, Power of the Cross, Speak, O Lord, Facing the Task Unfinished, if I'm playing that in our family for our kids to sing, or if I'm playing it in Village Chapel or local church, even if we're going back to Glen Abbey sometimes,
church in Ireland,
or going back to Alistair's church, which are kind of our sending church in America up in Ohio, I mean, or playing it True Women in an arena essentially here, or playing it internationally, each time I arrange it differently to help people. Similarly, when you make a record, you're making something which is actually for people's listening pleasure. So when you make the record, you make it a bit more, I think we take a bit more artistic freedom to try and make beauty. We have to remember, what people want is not sound theology and singable tunes. They want beautiful words that paint pictures of the Lord that like they've never thought of, to music that is so catchy and so infectious and so beautiful that they stick with us. And that's not because we've got some peculiar ADD, it's because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we love beauty. We love beauty in people. We love it in food. We love it in places that we see. And we love it in music as well.
Keith and Kristen Getty are telling us about their latest album here on Revive Our Hearts. As I said earlier, Revive Our Hearts has partnered with the Gettys at 7 True Woman conferences over the years. Our team asked them why working with Revive Our Hearts was such a good fit.
Very much at the beginning of moving to America. Yeah. We've known probably in terms of our friendships in America, and Nancy's one of our longest ones, and we're so grateful for that.
We had just started with Alistair.
She just came along beside us and was just a huge champion of the hymns and just really loved what we had done and what we were trying to do, the philosophy behind it. And she has just cheered us on ever since and made space for opportunities for us to partner and collaborate with Revive Our Hearts. And I think there's a great synergy between goal and what we're trying to do in her, you know, teaching the truth. And we're trying to sing it and teach it as well by that. And then also just at a relational level, we have just enjoyed each other's company. And I have enjoyed being able to speak to her over the years, and especially actually in the recent months again, I've had some really wonderful conversations. Actually, one I remember, Keith was fast asleep and her new husband was fast asleep. And I was in the bathroom in a hotel randomly, and she was, I don't know where she was in her home. And we were on the phone for about an hour, just chatting about this conference, but just chatting about everything, marriage and art and things we were reading and things we were struggling with. And she prayed for me, and it was just such a lush time. And I really appreciate that on that relational level. She has really spoken into my life. And we're just very inspired by what she does and how hard she works, how everything is so fueled by a personal walk, a deep personal walk with the Lord, and prayer and personal study, and you can see that in all that she does. And we are just very grateful just to have continued to work with her through these years and at these conferences, and we've really loved it.
Martin Luther looked at the Old Testament and the New Testament and church history and said Reformation must happen by the preaching and the singing of the word. Preaching the word, where music is used as a marketing tool for young people, or to get people more emotional, or to manipulate people, or to please the demographic you want to please in your area or for that event, you know, is very short-sighted. But you have to put the two together. And Nancy's kind of obsessed with getting the two together and creating artistic moments and memories. I can still remember artistic moments from Every True Woman, where she just spent hours of tortured thinking, trying to pull together how music and message would overlap to create things. And that's one of the unique things.
I've never met someone who cares just as much as she does.
And that's the unique thing this conference really has.
Just add a little personal note here. I'm so grateful that Keith and Kristen Getty were willing and available to play at my wedding in November of 2015. Touched
that she'd ask us. You know, it was just so lovely to be able to be part of what was a very special day for her personally, and not just, you know, ministry professional wise, although there was so much of it that was just so rich and full for all that listened in and watched it, but just to be part of such a special day and to share in her joy in that way, and to be able to use the music, which has been and just hymns and music in general, which has been such a part of her life, and obviously Robert's life too. So just to be able to be there for them in that day, and that was just a great privilege.
Pastures feed us.
Today on Revive Our Hearts, we've been hearing Keith and Kristen Getty talk about their heart for missions and how that heart comes through on their latest album, Facing a Task Unfinished. I think this album will encourage you to worship the Lord, and it will also remind you that we are a part of a body of believers around the world. We've partnered with the Gettys to bring you an exclusive Revive Our Hearts version of this album. In this special package, you'll get two discs. One is the music CD that we've been talking about. The other is a DVD that includes an exclusive behind-the-scenes interview that our team recorded with the Gettys at True Woman 16. And there's several more bonus videos on this DVD as well. This version of the album isn't available anywhere except as our gift to you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. When you call 1-800-569-5959 and make your donation, be sure to ask for this special edition of Facing a Task Unfinished by Keith and Kristen Getty. Again, that number to call is 1-800-569-5959 or visit us at reviveourhearts.com. We'll be glad to send one copy per household for your donation this week. Now, every time we begin a new year, I find it helpful to make a renewed commitment to be in God's Word each day and to connect with Him in prayer. Tomorrow we'll look together at why a daily devotional life is so important.
And you think about all the things David could have asked God for, all the things David could have desired for God to do for him. But he said, there's one thing if I had to reduce it to its irreducible minimum. If I could only ask God for one thing, what would it be, David? One thing have I asked of the Lord. That will I seek after. That will I pursue. That will I be intentional about. What is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David says, with all that's going on around me, all the crises in my life, the crises in my government, the crises with the opposition, the political decisions that need to be made, the one thing that matters most to me is that I can live in the presence of God, I can look upon His beauty, gaze upon Him, and I can live in His presence, I can look upon His beauty, and I can learn from Him every day of my life. That's the one thing, David, a man of one consuming passion that drove his life. What's your passion? What's the one thing that you desire from God above all others? Would it be what David said in Psalm 27:4?
I hope you'll be back tomorrow for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.